Let's bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you and your people. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts this day. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We are referred to as sheep all through Scripture. From the Old Testament, and the most famous one we can think of is Psalm 23, right through into Scriptures such as this conversation between Jesus and Peter. Just for some background, because I know nothing about sheep. Bob, you know a little bit about sheep, don't you, when you were back home? There's a website, believe it or not, there's a website called A Beginner's Guide to Raising Sheep. And it goes through some aspects of what sheep are like. And we tend to think of sheep as being kind of dumb and timid and all these sorts of things. And I guess some of that aspect's true, but there's some parts of their personality, because it's difficult when we're called sheep, because we think of sheep as just dumb followers. But sheep flock together for a reason. It helps protect them. And there's a lesson for us to be learned about being together. Sheep follow a leader, which is a very good thing as well. And when they learn this from birth, that they need to follow the older members of the flock. We are the elders, remember. They're very social. In fact, when they're eating, they need to see the other sheep around them. And boy, that's very Presbyterian. We like to eat together and share food, so that works. And they have very sharp senses. They can see well, they can smell things, and they can hear very well. Not only does it help protect them, it helps them to know where everybody else is. Basically, sheep need to be together, they need a leader, and they need to be fed and looked after. And I think describing us as sheep is a good thing, and it tells us much about how we should be living. We read today, when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "If you've got a pen or pencil, I'd like you to mark with an underline, 'Feed my lambs,' or at least take note of it in your bulletin. 'Feed my lambs' is his response. The second time he said to him, 'Son of Simon, do you love me?' And he said, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' And then he, circle it if you want to, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' 'Lord, you know everything. You know I love you.' He said, underlining that, 'Feed my sheep.' And after he said all this, he said, 'Follow me.' Now, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my guitar. I love eating hamburgers. And I love Jesus. And I can't mean the same thing in every case. I just can't. If English wasn't your first language, those statements would not only be a little confusing, they would be rather odd to think that you love all of those different things. It's quite confusing. The kind of love we mean is implied in English in the statement that we're making. But the ancient Greeks, when this Bible was being composed, certainly, and the ancient Greeks that predated even the events that take place here, they had different words to express different kinds of love. For romantic love, a love that might be shared between husband and wife, but a romantic love, the word was eros. So when someone said, "I love my wife," they would eros my wife. When someone had a friend and they loved their friend, the Greek word would be phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's an enjoyment, it's a fondness, so I might phileo my guitar because I really like my guitar. And they had a third word for family loyalty and family love, and it was storge. And storge expresses that I love my children and I love my family in a bigger sense of the word. All of these words are reciprocal. I want you to try to understand this a little bit. All of these words are conditional. All of these words mean that I love this person because they love me back. I love this thing because I get something out of it. It doesn't cost me anything in particular. It's a relationship that's there, and it's very deep and very meaningful. But when the Christians came along, they wanted to try to express love. And again, remember that we're not using that one word. We're trying to separate these words out. They wanted a word that would express the term of a self-sacrificing love that God had for all of humanity. A love that was God among them. A love that cost something. And so they began to look through old documents and ancient writings and stories and examples to find a word that meant love of this kind. And the word they found was agape. Now, agape comes from the story of Perseus and Andromeda. And you may or may not know that story very well. But Andromeda was the daughter of Cephas and Cassiopeia. And Cassiopeia, well, she got Neptune rather upset because she was quite, Poseidon rather, in this day, Neptune's the Roman version, Poseidon, quite upset because she was disrespectful. So Poseidon created this monster and put him in the ocean and made Andromeda take their daughter, make Cephas and Cassiopeia take their daughter Andromeda and sacrifice her to this monster to appease Poseidon's anger. Perseus, famous Greek warrior, was returning from having slain the Gorgon Medusa. We all know who Medusa is with the snakes. And he came upon Andromeda chained to the rock, ready to be killed by Cetus, this monster. But he killed the sea monster instead. And having set Andromeda free, he married her in spite of her having previously been promised to someone else. This act of love cost him something, a great risk to his life. And he nearly died in the battle. I've summarized it pretty quickly, but he nearly died in this battle. But he was willing to carry on nonetheless. It was a woman who was not promised to him in marriage, but he went and saved her anyway. Agape was the word used. So the early Christians took this word on and began to use it to express the love that God has for us in sacrificing his son. He gave up something. We didn't have to do anything. He gave up something for us. Agape. So I give you this, all these introduction in a way for us to more deeply understand the conversation between Jesus and Peter. And to do that, we need to understand the Greek words being used, because it wasn't just simply the word love. They were using these four different phrases, or part some of them anyway, in the conversation back and forth. Now, I have here with me a Bible I got before I was a believer and was challenged to read, and I did, the Gospel of John in particular. And this is the Living Translation. And it's not a translation, it's an interpretation, but it's an attempt to help us understand these words a little better. So I'm going to read you the same story about Jesus and Peter from here to maybe give you some idea of the conversation change and these different words that were being used. After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others?" "Yes," Peter replied. "You know I'm your friend." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Then Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I'm your friend." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. One more time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, are you even my friend?" Peter was grieved at the way Jesus asked the question this third time. "Lord, you know my heart. You know I am," he said. "You know I am your friend." Jesus said, "Then feed my little sheep." It's a subtle difference. When we read it in our Revised Standard, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter responded three times, "Yes, I love you." But we see here the difference. Jesus asked him the first two times, "Do you love me?" implying this agape. "Do you love me?" And Peter replied, "Yeah, I'm your friend." He missed the point. Jesus was asking Peter the same kind of love that we can read about in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." This love is unreserved, unconditional, unwavering, and totally oriented for the good of the other. And those other three words I used are not focused fully on the good of the other. They're on the relationship between the two. So when Peter responds to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," he's using the word phileo he means friendship, which is what's being used in this particular interpretation. So the first two encounters might better be translated as follows. Peter, are you fully devoted to me? Do you unconditionally love me? And Peter replies, yes, Lord, you know I'm your friend. I love you as a good friend. We can see the conversation. Jesus is asking Peter twice and giving him an opportunity to confess his unconditional love for Jesus. Imagine this conversation in connection with the following two scenes. The first scene is the Last Supper. And Peter says, I'll never deny you. And the second scene is the denial three times before Jesus died on the cross. I don't even know that man. Peter's human, and we can understand what he did in some ways. In fact, the truth is Jesus also knew that Peter would deny him. Remember, as I pointed out during the time he looked out that window in the courtyard and he saw Peter, he knew he was there. He knew that he wouldn't be able to keep that promise that he made. Even though Jesus offered Peter agape love, he couldn't find, even keep the friendship that he was supposed to have with Jesus in this denial. And Jesus did understand that. So when Jesus asked Peter for the third time, do you love me? He's now using that word phileo instead of agape. That is, he's accepting Peter's offer of friendship. So it could be translated, Peter, are you my friend? Lord, you know everything. You know I'm your friend. The love that Peter's offering is not agape yet. It's a friendship. It is sometimes conditional. It is sometimes wavering. And I think here's the important message for us this morning. Jesus accepts that that's enough. He's asking for more, and he asks the second time for that same amount, and Peter can't give it. Does Jesus push? Does he walk away? No. He accepts Peter where he is. If you can't love me in this agape format, I'll take what you have, and we'll get there one day. And that's how Christ approaches us, I believe. Unfortunately, there's an expectation for all of us that we need enough faith. We need to be deeper in our love for God at all times. We put pressure on ourselves that we shouldn't put there. God's not putting it there. God wants you to love him the way you can today. Whatever word you want to put in there, Greek word, it's not an amount, it's a kind of love. Remember that. The conversation also between Jesus and Peter isn't just about understanding this word of love and its various translations. The conversation is full of questions and commands, do's. So if this, then I want you to do that, kind of a structure. Just like the various terms for love that were chosen intentionally for this text, the do parts of the conversation were equally intentionally chosen. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Who are the lambs and the sheep? What does it mean to feed and to tend them? And that's why I was looking up about sheep briefly. Feeding lambs is not easy. Is it, Bob? Feeding lambs is a lot of work. And if we've all had puppies or kittens, we know you got to feed them a lot. It's a lot of work to feed them. Every couple of hours, you got to give them some fresh milk. It's a lot of work. If we've had babies in our lives, we know that it's a lot of work. Feed my lambs. A lot of work. Tend my sheep. Not as much work, maybe, as dealing with lambs. Maybe not as risky, but you've got to clean up after them, and you've got to cut their wool, and you've got to put them in a pen, and you've got to protect them at night. There's still a lot of work to do. But if Peter can't meet that, Peter can't quite do that in this particular conversation. So Jesus says, feed my sheep. What do you do to feed a sheep? You open the gate, out you go to the field, and you close the gate. Job's done. Because sheep are smart enough to know what they should and shouldn't eat, unlike a goat. A goat will eat anything in front of it, including tin cans. Sheep are picky. They're only going to eat fresh grass. And they're only going to eat together. And they're only going to eat if they're safe. But I don't have to intervene too much. Not like I do if I'm feeding lambs. Not like I do if I have to tend them. To feed them, I put them in a field. And Peter was there. So the last thing that Jesus asked Peter to do is feed my sheep. Get them in the field. Make sure they're fed. He didn't ask him to tend them. He didn't ask him to feed the lambs. He started there. And that's our ultimate goal. And it's hard work. And as I mentioned with these children today, when we're doing VBS in this church, we're having these camp, indoor camp things that we're doing, we're feeding lambs. And it is a lot of work. But it's important to work. When we're tending sheep, all of us, we do tend sheep. All of us do. And it's a lot of work as well. But we do, as Jesus talked with Peter, we do what we can where we are now. And that's what's important. Today is our congregation's 12th anniversary Sunday service. We are celebrating something wonderful. I think there's a cake downstairs later. But we're doing more than celebrating. One of the things we're doing, and most important thing I think we're doing, is considering our future as a congregation. This week you're going to see in my newsletter that will be sent out an opportunity to respond to the moving forward plan that was presented a while back. That plan has quite a lot to do with the do statements from what Jesus said today. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. But these commands also are not just for us as a congregation, as a corporate group. They are for each of us individually in our daily walk. The lambs and the sheep are not just people out there somewhere. They are people in here. The person sitting beside you, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you, who you never see on Sunday because you don't ever turn around, that person is a sheep in this fold. And that person needs to be fed, needs to be tended to, needs to be cared for. But also very important is you. Are you tending to yourself as a lamb of God, as one of the sheep in God's fold? Are you today dealing with your spiritual needs? Are you taking the time to be a lamb or a sheep of the Good Shepherd, Jesus? Everyone here today. And one of the blessings and one of the struggles that I've had in being here now, apparently a long time by some standards, as I was talking with some ministers last weekend, is that I can look around this room at every single person in this room, and I know a lot of what you're dealing with in your lives. We're all dealing with stuff in our lives that at times can be overwhelming, and at other times maybe not so much. There's people here today, it might be you sitting in the pew today, you're smiling and seem fine. But inside, there's much more going on. You could be sitting in that pew today looking perfectly normal, thinking, boy, I got to church today. I don't know what else I'm going to do. But God is with you, and it's your responsibility and our responsibility to be tending the sheep. What are we going to be doing about that? Do we agape and phileo, love and love ourselves as children of God? Jesus commands in quotes from Scripture himself, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But, you know, if you're not feeding and tending to your own needs, spiritually speaking, you're not going to do a very good job of feeding and tending to your neighbor's needs either. Jesus asks, do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And he concludes it all with the following instruction that tells us exactly what we need to do to fulfill those three statements. Follow me. Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot in this particular scripture that is there to teach us so much about our lives. There's a lot that we struggle with in our lives. And I'm praying that you can help us to know what it is to follow you in order that we can feed the lambs and tend the sheep and feed the sheep. Because they're not just the sheep. They're not just out there. They are yours. And we have a responsibility as a follower of Jesus to look after and to love in whatever form, whatever word, but agape ultimately. Sacrificial love. Help us to do that I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just as Jesus calls us to feed his lambs and tend his sheep, let us show and share his love through the offerings and tithes that we now present.